You're listening to WBH Radio. I'm your host, William Holly. Thank you for tuning in to episode number 46. Salute, and salute to everybody that's out there. I definitely appreciate you stopping in to check out the podcast. For me, you know, it's been a cool time. Had some nice opportunities come my way. Some things I look forward to sharing with you guys in the future. I got some other projects I'm trying to build from the ground up. You know, it's a busy time, but it's a cool time. Wouldn't change anything for the world. And I just hope everybody's doing well out there. Not a lot of topics I want to get into today, but hopefully that means we can spend some extended time on the things I do want to discuss. One of those topics for sure is Dak Prescott. You know, Dallas Cowboys quarterback recently suffered a gruesome injury. What makes matters even worse is that before the injury, he was in line to collect about $150 million. So we can definitely dive into that situation. But first, I want to start here. Recently, my man, African Ike, salute to Ike. He reached out to me, text message or email. He was like, "Yo, Will, I'm listening to the podcast." You know, he had a few thoughts for me. And one of the last lines, he said, "Will, I'm going to need you to cut out that LeBron slander." Fast forward a few days, a week, my godmother calls me. And after she finishes cursing me out because I didn't return her previous call, you know, she just said, "Well, I'm calling to check on you." And she asked me, "Will, who you got winning the finals?" And before I could even answer, she says, "Yeah, I know you don't want LeBron James to win." Dog, I had to pull the phone from my ear and just stare at it like, hold on. First Ike, now my godmother. Like, where did this come from that people believe I'm a LeBron hater? When did I all of a sudden turn into Skip Bayless? Is this what y'all get from the podcast? Well, we got to fix that today, man. I love LeBron. I'm not a hater, man. I love LeBron, man. I've said it before and I'm going to say it again. I think he is a special human being. Forget about the basketball. You know, he was on the national stage at 16. He had the world at his fingertips at 19 and 20 years old, and I think he's done an amazing job. If you and I had the world at 19 and 20, we'd be in trouble, right? I probably would have had 15 kids. I probably would have been indicted for the RICO charge, drug conspiracy, all type of craziness. Me and my friends would have been running the streets wild and reckless. And he had the money, the fame, and he's done an amazing job. Man, if I ever had the opportunity to meet LeBron James, the first thing I would do was extend my hand and say thank you. Bron, thanks for the years of entertainment. Bron, thanks for the years of giving us stuff to discuss and talk about. Bron, thanks for being a humanitarian that you are. Bron, thanks for carrying the flag for Black Matters the way you've tried to do. Salute, brother. So nah, man, no hate over here. So there's nothing else to say, but yo, Bron, congratulations. Congratulations on leading the Lakers to their 17th title. Congratulations on your fourth title. Congratulations on being named Finals MVP for the fourth time. You know, my brother DA, he reached out to me. He said, "Yo, Will, what do you think of this championship?" I said, "Yo, bro, I don't really know, man. Give me a little more time to think about it." And what this championship means for me, how I relate it to LeBron's legacy, it just highlights how much of a man LeBron is. You know, how I view him as a man amongst boys, especially in this era. Because this brother had a mission, he had a goal, and he accomplished it. And that's something worthy of saluting, especially when you think of this climate. You know, I don't know if I said this on air or just amongst my friends. When the bubble was first being put together and certain players were opting out, I said, "Yo, what's LeBron James's motivation to go to this bubble?" Like, all jokes aside, forget the barbershop talk and talk about championship stuff. We're talking about life or death. A few months ago, we didn't even know if it was safe to go outside. Hell, we still don't know if it's safe to go outside. Yet, LeBron James decided to get up and be a part of that bubble. He decided to pick up and leave his family, leave his chauffeur, leave his cook, and go lock himself in at Disney World with one mission in mind, and that was to win a championship, and he did it. That's something you got to salute. You know, I don't know if you guys remember, there was a player on the Houston Rockets. His name was House. He got in trouble. He got booted from the bubble because he invited a young lady who was responsible for doing coronavirus testing. He invited her to his room, which is a violation of protocol. You see, people, they were falling off the wagon. They were losing sight, not LeBron James. And what makes it most impressive is that he got all of the resources, all of the money. Nobody will fault him for walking away. Yet he stayed the course. And the result was leading his team to victory, leading his team to the championship. Detractors of LeBron might say, hey, this was an easy finals. He didn't have to go to Kawhi. He didn't have to go through Kevin Durant or Greek Freak. In fact, when he got to the finals, the Heat were banged up. All of these things are true. But still in all, even if the road is a bit easier, you still got to get it done. You see, remember last year, the Toronto Raptors won the championship when they defeated the Golden State Warriors. We all said, yo, if KD was there, no way the Raptors would have won. And that's true. But just because the road is a little bit easier, you still got to get up and get it done. And that's what Kawhi did, and I saluted him. So, I got to salute LeBron when he does the same thing. When they handed LeBron the trophy and I looked around, you know who I saw on the roster? I saw J.R. Smith. I saw one of the Morris twins. I saw Anthony Davis. You know what those brothers got in common? They all represented by Clutch Sports and agent Rich Paul, who is the friend of LeBron, right? An agency that we believe LeBron is behind pulling the strings. So not only did he win the championship, but he got brothers with him. He assembled the team. That's boss move. That's a man amongst boys. That's different than just being a player. You know, when they gave him his MVP, LeBron said, man, I just want my damn respect. Well, salute, Bron, you got it. But then he started talking about other individuals that deserve respect, like his coach Frank Vogel and his general manager Rob Pelinka. Hold on, Bron. You know, I'm reluctant to give Rob Pelinka credit for acquiring Anthony Davis when Rich Paul and Clutch Sports went to the Pelicans and said, listen, yo, Anthony Davis, he ain't playing for y'all anymore. I'm reluctant to give Rob Pelinka credit for acquiring Anthony Davis when Rich Paul and Clutch Sports told Danny Ainge and the Boston Celtics, hey, you might not want to trade for him because if he does go over there, we ain't staying too long. That's LeBron James and Clutch Sports exercising their leverage and power and helping the Lakers acquire Anthony Davis. Again, ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, that's a man amongst boys. That ain't just a player, right? That's what this championship means to me. When I looked up there and I saw not just LeBron, but individuals that are part of his agency, man, that's dope. LeBron said he needed a second star. He went and manufactured it, him and his agency, him and his boy Rich Paul. You got to salute him. You got to put that feather in his cap as well. And on top of all of that, he did it in a year where the city of Los Angeles, the organization of the Lakers, was mourning the loss of their beloved Kobe Bryant. You know, as the leader, people turned to LeBron and said, yo, help us with this pain. Help carry the legacy. You see, me personally, I don't like that. I don't like when people equate memorializing somebody's death and they attach that with a sporting accomplishment. I don't like that because you could win 10 championships. There's nobody going to replace Kobe Bryant for his wife and his daughters that are still here. Nah, don't reduce it to a trophy. Oh, this one's for Kobe. But that's me personally. Los Angeles, the world, they were looking at LeBron to, yo, help carry that flag, help ease some of the pain of losing Kobe Bryant. And he was able to do it. You saw the memes where it was like the ghost of Kobe hugging on LeBron. Like, that's deep. That's deep. And for some people, watching LeBron hoist that trophy up, that makes him feel good, man. And with all that pressure on him, he was able to do it. You got to remember, Kobe Bryant, we just a fan of his. They actually knew that brother. That was their friend. That was somebody they could call upon. And when you reach the heights of LeBron James, there's probably not many people you can lean on. There's not many people that knows what it is to walk in your shoes, to be the most famous man in a city, in a country, in a state. And to lose that friend, that's got to be deep. That had to have been a lot for LeBron. So for him to persevere is dope. Not only did he lose his friend, but anytime somebody dies prematurely, I'm sure it causes all of us to take a look at our own mortality. Right? I'm sure LeBron's no different. But at LeBron's level, there's just certain ways he probably ain't going to die. You know what I'm saying? He ain't going to get shot down in the street. You know, he probably ain't going to be a victim of police brutality like George Floyd. Those things ain't happening to LeBron. But dying in a helicopter crash? That's real. That's real. So I'm sure LeBron was shaking up a great deal. In fact, we saw the footage. There's a footage where I think LeBron's getting off a plane and he's at a tarmac and he falls into somebody's arms and he's just crying after the loss of Kobe Bryant. So when you look at all of that, being in a bubble, leaving your family, the loss of Kobe Bryant, the people counting on you, right? Playing a big hand in assembling the roster. Man, salute to the king. Salute to the king. Now, from a basketball standpoint, it wasn't good basketball. Like, I can't tell you a lie. You know, the Heat were banged up. They lost Bam Adebayo for a couple of games. Goran Dragic was banged up, the point guard for the Heat. I thought if those two individuals were there, the Heat had a real chance. The Heat had a real chance. I guess why people believe that I'm a LeBron hater, and I really don't like that. I was a big LeBron fan for 12 years, you know. But the reason I'm critical is because when you reach a certain height, right? Not even that. When you're one of the gorillas, you don't compare yourself to people in your rear view. You're always looking forward. You're always trying to be the best version of yourself. Hell, what you do, you're chasing ghosts. And when you tell me LeBron James has 3 inches on Michael Jordan and 40 pounds, when you tell me LeBron James came into the league at an age younger than Michael Jordan, right, which means that his career is going to be longer. When you tell me LeBron James has played in the era where there's no hand checking. When you tell me LeBron is playing in a time where he was able to maneuver through free agency, but not only do that, but kind of handpick his teammates. And he's only come up with 4 championships and countless opportunities. That ain't enough. Like, let's cut it. That ain't enough. When you keep telling me, oh, he was the youngest person to accomplish this, Michael Jordan went to college for 3 years. Okay? Michael Jordan retired for damn near 3 years in the prime of his life. Stop it. They ain't even close to me. That's not even a conversation DA and I have. It ain't even close. You have all these opportunities and you squandered too many to be the greatest. That's it. That ain't no hate. That's just coming from somebody who really rock with the game, hard body. There was an article in Yahoo, and it says that the NBA had the worst ratings in 40 years. Somebody got an answer for that, you know? People on the right, that was a right wing guy that said, yo, go woke, go broke. You know, they were claiming that the lack of ratings was due to the Black Lives Matter and the social justice initiatives that were taking place during the broadcast. Well, it's possible. You know, I would love to see somebody from the NBA or LeBron. Y'all got to defend that. You know, you can't be visible and talk about how prosperous your league is when things are going well, and then hide when they have numbers like this out. What's the reason for that? Could it be because of the Black Lives Matter messaging on the court? It's possible. We can't just throw it out the window because we don't like that narrative. I would love to see one of these stars stand up and talk to us about why your league is plummeting when it comes to ratings. Now, I know people say, yeah, it's because cord cutters and millennials don't have cable anymore. They're watching on their phone. Bull stuff. Oh, yeah, it's because people gather in bars and they watch it there. So the ratings, well, we ain't in bars now. Why is your ratings in the dumps? You know, without any research, I would believe that, you know what? The Black Lives Matter played a part in it. Because in my humble little research and my studies, a lot of the sports are populated by Black athletes. You know, us as Black folks, we enjoy watching the game. But when you talk about the money that keeps sports afloat, it's usually white dollars. I don't know any brothers with season tickets, right? Most of the corporations, the sponsors that keep these businesses afloat, that's white folks. So it's very possible that the Black Lives messaging alienated them and turned them off. LeBron, somebody, KD, y'all got to stand up and tell me why your league's ratings are plummeting. You can't hide. You know, I've never asked any of my white friends how they feel about the Black Lives Matters messaging on the court, on the jerseys. And the reason I've never asked is because I think I know the answer. It's got to be hard for a white person who is not a racist to sit through a broadcast and watch people say all types of things about the system and what the white Americans are doing. Like, it's got to be frustrating. Like, yo, brothers, I understand your plight, but son, you're not going to sit here and make me feel guilty. You know what I'm saying? I didn't enslave you. Whether my ancestors did or not, like, bro, I'm just trying to watch a basketball game. I'm trying to release because my girl's pissing me off too. So I'm just trying to come to this game for safe haven, and now you want to make me feel guilty? You know, I'm not self-involved enough to think just because the Black Lives Matter messaging may be in line with things that I believe, that doesn't mean it's right, right? Just because somebody disagrees with me or has a different opinion of me doesn't mean they're wrong. I'm not that arrogant and that self-involved. So black folks are like, yeah, man, Black Lives Matter. Like, yeah, we just got to run with it. It's the right thing. Is it? You might be alienating some other folks. All right? You got to be respectful to everybody else. You got to understand that all actions have a consequence. If that's what y'all want to do, your league may be going down in the dumps. And just think about it like this, right? Let's take race off the floor. Let's think about another minority group. If I turned on my game and I saw things that said all women matter, and they had messaging specific to the women's fight and the women's plight. I'm sorry, I'm being 100% honest. That would bother me. That's not my fight. Am I going to stop the women from getting what they... Absolutely not. I'm not getting in their way at all. In fact, I encourage them. But as a human, selfishly, yo, dog, get that away from my sports. I'm just trying to watch the game. That would bother me. If I turned on my sports and I saw the gay national anthem being played before the game, get that the hell away from my game. Does that mean I don't want gay folks to have their rights and the right to get married? Please, enjoy yourself. But it's not my fight. I got enough battles to fight. I'm not gonna stand in your way in any way. I'm not gonna inhibit you in any way or prohibit you. No. But dog, that's your battle. Go fight it. And please, I want to watch the game without any of that other stuff. And I think about that all the time when I see that black. These white folk, they gotta be driving them mad. So I would just love to hear somebody comment on why the ratings are in the dumps. You know, who I gotta ask? Siri, Alexa, somebody stand up. Because them brothers hush over there about that shit. I want to switch gears to football. You know, I previously mentioned that the Dallas Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott, you know, young brother, this past weekend he suffered a gruesome injury. I think it was a compound fracture, which means the bone comes out. I think it was his ankle, his leg, or something. He got carted off, tears in his eyes. And it was tough. And collectively, the league, like his peers, the people he plays with and plays against, or commentators, like even the fans, we all know how tough that was because he was in line for $150 million, right? This is a contract year. This is the year you got to ball out so you can get paid. And this injury, of course, is going to set him back. I've been meaning to talk about Dak for a long time, and even before this injury. So I got a couple different thoughts, man. I'm going to throw them at you, and hopefully we can tie it all together. I want to go back to March of this year. March of this year. In fact, before that, last year, last offseason, Dak Prescott was up for a new contract. You know, him and the Cowboys were going back and forward, $100 million. They couldn't come to an agreement. And then in March of this year, there was a bidding war for Tony Romo. Tony Romo is a broadcaster for CBS. There was a bidding war between CBS and ESPN. What ends up happening is Tony Romo is reportedly going to earn $17 million a year broadcasting the game. Just talking about it. He don't have to go out there and risk bodily injury. Just talking about it, he's going to make $17 million. The most ever by a sports commentator. More than the previous record high, which is John Madden. And we all know that game, that name from the football games. He was a former coach, a Super Bowl winning coach. Record number. And of course, much of the conversation was, yo, this is crazy, son. How you going to make more than a player? But when I saw that, you know what my thought was? My initial thought, I tell you no lie. I wonder if Dak sees this. I wonder if Dak Prescott sees what's going on. Because, listen, there are four networks that broadcast the NFL. It's CBS, it's Fox, it's NBC, and it's ESPN. Each network has a number one broadcasting team. That means a number one play-by-play guy and a number one color commentator. And they broadcast the top game for that network. for CBS, it's Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. For Fox, it's Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. Do you know what Troy Aikman and Tony Romo have in common? They both Dallas Cowboys. Right? And before ESPN has some shakeup in their broadcast booth, in fact, the booth was shaken up because of the departure of Jason Witten. Jason Witten was the color commentator. You know who Jason Witten is? A former Dallas Cowboy. So I wondered if Dak understood this when he's wrestling with the Cowboys about $100 million or $150 million. To me, the money is insignificant, brother. Right? Because there is opportunity beyond just this contract when you are a Dallas Cowboy. Tony Romo, Troy Aikman, Jason Witten. Don't get caught up in pinching pennies when there's so much other opportunity associated with being a Dallas Cowboys quarterback. Right? I called my man Barrow Reedy today just to make sure I had some things in order. Shout out to Barrow Reedy. We all know Barrow as our Dallas correspondent. And Barrow reminded me that the famed Monday Night Football booth with Howard Cosell, Frank Gifford, it also included a gentleman by the name of Don Meredith. You know who Don Meredith was? A former Dallas Cowboy. The opportunities are plentiful, right? So that was back in March. And then, beginning of the season, Patrick Mahomes signs for the largest contract in football. What was it, $500 million? Cool, great. Shortly after that, we hear that Patrick Mahomes is going to be a part owner of the Kansas City Royals, which is the baseball team in Kansas. You know what I thought when I saw that? I wonder if Dak is paying attention. You see, because not only was Patrick Mahomes, did he earn the number one contract in the league, but he got to be a part owner of the Royals. Now, you might say, yeah, Will, because he got the bag. He got the money. Patrick Mahomes didn't get $500 million that night, right? He ain't that liquid. He got to wait for his contract to play out, right? There's taxes involved. Yet, he was able to be a part of the Kansas City Royals organization. Why? There's people with more money than Patrick Mahomes who can't even get close to being a part of an ownership group for a professional franchise. Why was Patrick Mahomes able to be a part of the Royals? Because it's more than just money. It's influence. It's cachet. It's community. It's network. So Dak Prescott, I was frustrated with him because he's pinching pennies. Dak, where the hell are you going if you ain't going to play for the Cowboys? It's not just a $100 million contract. It's a $100 million contract from the number one franchise in that sport. Dak Prescott, it's not just a $100 million offer. It's a $100 million offer from the number one franchise in the globe. The Cowboys are the number one franchise, the most valuable franchise in the world. And not only that, but you're playing the most visible position, the quarterback. Bro, where else are you going? You going to lead the Cowboys to go play for the Jacksonville Jaguars? Just take the money. Because if it's $100 million or $150 million, it doesn't matter. You see, in a minority community, we get so caught up in the bag. Bro, there's ample opportunities out there. This $100 million is just going to be a slice of what you're going to get. This is just a slice of what you are in line to receive as the quarterback of the most visible franchise in this country. Don't be a nigga and get caught up in the, they offered me $38 million a year, but I wanted $42 million. So I was really frustrated by this. You see, I want to make the distinction because Fat Cat reached out to me and he was like, yo, Dak should have took the money. But Fat Cat, he coming from, we all, Fat Cat, my guy. If you know me, you probably know who I'm talking about. Fat Cat's a guy, let's say, who likes to play it safe. Yo, if they put $100 million in my face, you got to take it. No. I'm not saying that. Please make the distinction, right? Because when Joe Flacco decided to bet on himself as a member of the Ravens and play under the franchise tag and hope he wins big in free agency, I was for it. You see, I'm not operating out of fear, right? When Kirk Cousins decided to play under the franchise tag for the Washington Redskins, I was for it. Go ahead and see if you can win big in free agency, right? This is not a place of fear I'm speaking from, right? I'm not saying anytime somebody dangles something in your face, you go take it. No. But Dak, you weren't playing for the Ravens like Joe Flacco. Dak, you weren't playing for the Redskins like Kirk Cousins. You playing for the number one franchise. Don't overlook the value that's associated with that, right? I told you about Tony Romo, number one contract in broadcasting, sports broadcasting history. I told you Troy Aikman is the number one guy for Fox. I told you Jason Witten had the number one job at ESPN. I told you Don Meredith was a part of the famed broadcast booth with Howard Cosell. There's another Dallas Cowboys quarterback by the name of Roger Staubach. He played in an era where dudes ain't even make that money. Roger Staubach is worth $600 million today. This is what happened when you associated with one of the greatest franchises in the country. Don't lose sight of that, my brothers. Right? So I was frustrated by that. Side note, I talked to Aaron Judge earlier this year. You know, I usually check Aaron Judge, Yankee Slugger. I usually talk to him about twice a year. You know, before the season, I check in on him. Maybe before the playoffs or after the season, I check in on him. And when I reached out to him earlier this year, I said, yo, bro, just sending you a salute, man. Wish you well this year. And we start talking about he had gone through arbitration with the Yankees. Arbitration is kind of like, hey, the player has outperformed his rookie deal, so he wants a little bit more money from the organization. This is like an intermediary before they go to the big contract. And Aaron Judge went through that process with the Yankees, and they came to the resolution, and all was good. And he said, yo, Will, I am relieved to get this contract done. And I could tell through the conversation that he truly was relieved. And you know why? Because where the hell is Aaron Judge going? You play for the number one franchise, bro. Let's just get this money done. Give me something respectable. And let's get back to business. Right? We ain't leaving to go play for the Padres. This the number one franchise in baseball. We ain't going anywhere. We just watched Derek Jeter lay out the blueprint. When you come to New York, everything is magnified. Derek Jeter came here, you do it here, the world is yours. You do it for the Yankees, the world is yours. He's now an owner in baseball. Aaron Judge knows that. He ain't going anywhere. He ain't doing what Robinson Cano did, take the bag to go in Seattle. When Robinson Cano was a Yankee, I seen him at the Grammys with Hove. Since he went to Seattle or whatever, I haven't seen him since. I don't even know where he plays. So bring it back to Dak. I was frustrated that he was still playing around with this money. It's $100 million from the number one franchise. Take it. He didn't take it. He decides to play on a franchise tag. Cool. And then something happened where I was stopped in my tracks. You know, not much really surprising me these days, but this news did. And that's when, maybe a month or so ago, we learned that Dak Prescott lost his brother. Not only did he lose his brother, but he lost his brother to suicide. Man. You know, death is hard by itself. But when you learn that your loved one decided to take their own life, that's hard. I couldn't believe it, man. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, the brother that Dak had in those Campbell's Soup commercials, you know the Campbell's Soup commercial when players are there with their moms? Dak had one with him and his two brothers. You see, when I see those commercials, I always go Google to see if that's their actual family member. And I saw it was his real brothers, and I thought, yo, that's cool, man. Y'all really get into it. One of those guys decided to take their life. You see, when you think about a young black man, especially somebody of the hip-hop generation, when you close your eyes and you think of an ideal life or the way you want to live, man, professional athlete is on that list. And if I can't do it myself, if one of my homies do it, shit, we just as lit. Right? And this guy's brother was the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, and he decided to check out. Hell, if one of my homies was the backup quarterback for the lowly Jets, I would think we was popping. So I'm sure that was a whole ball of emotions for Dak. Not just sadness, but to be honest, I'm sure there was some anger too. Like, yo, bro, you mean to tell me we playing quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, we in line to get $150 million, and you decided to check out? Why you ain't give me a chance to save you? Why you ain't give me a chance to help? So when I saw that, I said, man, there's no telling what Dak was thinking when he was negotiating contracts. Because we just learned that Dak's brother died of suicide, but he passed early this year. I believe it was April, May, maybe even March. But we didn't know the details. So when I learned that, it kind of erased all of those feelings I was having about Dak as far as him. He should have took the money, because who knows what that brother was going through. Dak could have said, hey, I lost my mother to cancer. I lost my brother to suicide. Listen, I ain't taking any more losses. The Dallas Cowboys going to give me what I want and not a red cent less. Like, who knows what was going on? So I had to look at that situation differently. And when I learned that news that his brother committed suicide, I said, yo, there's no way Dak can be the same player, right? There's no way that the Dallas Cowboys should have the same expectations that they did before we learned the Dak brother suicide. You can't be the same person. People said, yo, but Will, when family members die, sometimes that motivates people to play better. I said, yeah, when your 96-year-old grandmother dies of lymphoma cancer, yeah, you may be motivated, oh, I'm going to play for grandma. But when your 31-year-old brother checks out because of suicide, that's different. And you know what? The Cowboys had a rough start. You know, there's no way Dak can be the same person. And even if his stats are the same, there's no way his mind can be the same. You know? His stats could be the same, but his leadership may not be there. Right? On the way to the game, on the team bus, Dak could have been the person leading the charge with the energy. Who knows? He might be slumped in the back seat now with his headphones on. Right? And even if his numbers are the same, he's not having the same impact on his teammates that he once did. Before the game in the locker room, everybody's getting hyped like, yo, we about to go kill this other team. Who knows? Hearing stuff like that, where that puts Dak after the loss of his brother. There was no way that the Cowboys could be the same. There was no way Dak could be the same this year. You know, if we speculate on why his brother decided to take his life, maybe it was the environment of professional sports. You know, maybe his brother Now when he walked in the room, he no longer had his own identity. He was reduced to, oh, that's Dak's brother. And that might have taken a toll on him and caused him to take his life. So there might be a point in a game when Dak Prescott looks around at the stadium and everybody calling his name and his banners everywhere, and he might be disgusted. Like, yo, this is what took my brother's life. There's no telling what that brother's going through, man. And that made me rethink what I thought about him in the contract. And fast forward to him deciding to play on a franchise tag. Fast forward to him breaking his ankle, his leg. And here we are. And we always talk about tragedies and sports. It's like, I really feel for this brother right here. You know what I'm saying? You lost your brother. You got this injury. There's questions about this money. That's tough. You know, I say all of that to say that is tough. But I think Dak's going to be all right. If I have this correctly, he has an insurance policy in place for $50 million. So if he doesn't return to form, I don't know the stipulations of how it works. If he doesn't return to form, if he never plays again, he going to pocket $50 million. You know, so it ain't the $150 million, but again, I'm under the belief that $50 million is more than enough to create whatever you want to create, right? I tell you, the more research I do, the more I learn about the struggle of black folks, I realize the money isn't insignificant. What's most important is to build a community. So $50 million, $150 million is the same to me. I know y'all think I'm crazy, but the only difference is he could buy a whole bunch of different gadgets. Nah, $50 million is more than enough to live the life you want in life. That was a tough situation. And I just sent her a salute. Sent her a salute. One last topic I want to broach. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Bronny James Jr., the son of LeBron James, recently he was on social media and he posted a video of what appeared like him smoking weed. LeBron James Jr. is what, 15, 16? Now, of course, the video was promptly taken down. Maybe it was taken down because LeBron James or Savannah James said, boy, if you don't take that video down, you know, if that was the case, salute to them. But when I initially saw the video was taken down, I jumped to the conclusion that, hey, somebody in his quote-unquote team got to him and told him to take it down because it could jeopardize his future with colleges. It could jeopardize his future with sponsors. It could jeopardize his future of getting drafted into the NBA. That's what I thought. And when I looked in the comments, I saw some people saying that too. Yo, bro, this may come up to haunt you when you get drafted. Teams may try to hold this against you. And when I thought about that situation, I asked myself, and I want to ask you, what part of this is leveling up? Right? If your dad is LeBron James, and he's come from Akron, Ohio, which is poverty-stricken, drug-riddled, violence, and he's amassed all of these resources, all of this money, right? He's amassed all of this. What's the point of that if his son is going to turn around and have to walk in his same shoes and adhere to the same rules and regulations and limitations that the father had to adhere to? LeBron James Jr., right? His daddy got the world at his fingertips. LeBron James Jr. got even more. at his disposal, right? Because he's gotten those riches at a younger age, right? No matter how special Jay-Z and Beyonce's life is, their children's life is going to be even better, right? Blue Ivy and Sir, they're not going to have to sell dope like Jay-Z. They're not going to have to be in a little apartment in Houston, Texas, practice in front of the mirror like Beyonce is, right? The offspring will have a better life. The same with Bronny James Jr., right? You got the whole world. So why would you choose to walk in the direct same shoes as your dad? Right now, Bronny James, the young man who's playing basketball at a high level out there in California high school, he's on pace to find himself poked, prodded, dissected, analyzed by a group of white boys, NBA GMs, NBA coaches. Right? What's the benefit of having your dad with all of this stuff for you to be on the same path? To me, that's not leveling up. Why would you affix yourself into a position as just a quote-unquote basketball player? We don't own any teams. They barely letting us coach now. We ain't any general managers. Why would you affix yourself in a position in society that is limited? That's not leveling up to me. Why would you put yourself in a position where you got to tap dance for your sponsors? That's what I jumped to when I saw that he had to take that video down. To me, it was like, yo, Bron, you need to take that video down so the system don't come crashing down on you. You see, when I think of a family and I think of a family ascending, when I think of a group of people ascending, I think it happens through generations. And I liken it to a relay race. One individual wants one leg. They hand a baton on to someone else who takes that baton to even further distance. So LeBron James Sr. has run one hell of a leg. And Bronny James going to take the baton and just run in the same place? You see, not too far from where I live, there's an airport. It used to be called Idlewild Airport. But I believe in the 60s, it was renamed to JFK. JFK. It's named after our 35th president, John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Now, the Kennedys is a big name. We all know the Kennedys, right? John F. Kennedy. We know his wife, Jackie O. Here in New York City, John F. Kennedy Jr. was somebody, a socialite. He was all over the place. I think Arnold Schwarzenegger married a Kennedy. There's Ted Kennedy. There's Kennedys all through the political community. In fact, I'll tell you one fact about John F. Kennedy. John F. Kennedy was the president, right? One that was beloved by whites and blacks. You know, a president has to assign their cabinet. Do you want to know who served as the attorney general under John F. Kennedy? The attorney general is basically the government's top lawyer, right? A prestigious position, right? Currently, Donald Trump's attorney general is a dude by, I think it's Barr. It might be William Barr. The last name is Barr, right? Prestigious position. Do you want to know who John F. Kennedy's attorney general was? His brother, Robert F. Kennedy, Robert Francis Kennedy. Ain't that gangster, right? Kennedys, man, they did their family proud. Do you want to know what the rumor is about John Kennedy's dad and granddad and how they came to prominence and got money? The rumor is that they were bootleggers. they sold illegal alcohol during Prohibition. So within a few generations, they went from bootleggers to running the free world to United States Attorney General, President of the United States. That's leveling up. That's taking the baton and going to the next stage. You see, back in the 80s and the 70s and the 90s, there was a problem here in New York City. The mob. You had John Gotti. You had the Gambino family. You had Sammy the Bull Gravano. Right? There was bloodshed. There was bodies piling up. There were people going to the bottom of the ocean with cement shoes, never to return. It's not like that anymore. To the point where people start questioning, yo, does the mob still exist? Does organized crime still exist? Well, I'm here to tell you it does. It's called Las Vegas. They just went legit. They just leveled up. Right? The mob still exists. It's these Teamsters and these unions we are trying to fight to get in. They've leveled up. Speaking of that relay race, they've taken that baton and going to new heights. So going back to LeBron James, Bronny James, your daddy is LeBron James, and all you want to be is a basketball player. That's not leveling up. You got the whole world at your fingertips. Bro, you could be in the basement coming up with the cure for cancer. You could be in the basement coming up with the competition for Amazon. You could be creating the next network that's going to disseminate black news properly. You could be creating a bank so minorities don't have to worry about being victim to unfair lending practices, right? You got the whole world, but our minds are limited. He just want to be a basketball player. That ain't leveling up. That's running in place. Right? So when you talk to me about the limitations the system's putting ourselves, I see us limiting our own self. The Kennedys came from bootleggers to president. The mob went from a bunch of gangsters to running Vegas and Atlantic City. LeBron James Jr. is on pace to be poked, prodded, analyzed by a bunch of white boys that got no business having that power over him. To a system that's going to one day tell LeBron James Jr., you ain't good enough, son. You're fired. You don't get a contract. The same way they did Michael Jordan. Yeah, Michael Jordan got fired as the president of the Washington Wizards. The greatest of all time. They sent his ass packing. And that's what you decided to do with all of the resources that you have. Now, you might say, yo, Willis, well, why are you tripping, man? Like, the kid loves basketball. He's passionate about the game. Like, yo, let him live. Cool. You know, anybody that has seen me play basketball knows that there's no shortage of passion over here. I mean, there was times I had to apologize to teammates. Like, man, I got a little worked up. There was times I had to apologize to my mom. Like, the first time she seen me really hooping was like, dang, so I ain't know you got like that. Yeah, man, get a little crazy. Hell, if a basketball came bouncing right now in this studio, I can't be responsible for who I'm going to transform into. I know about passion. You know what else my passion was evident and visible? It's when I was in the Army. You know, when I was up early mornings and I was running and I was training and I was doing my push-ups, you better believe I was passionate. When I was going to the gun range and I was trying to learn how to handle the M16 and shoot it properly, yeah, the passion was visible. When it came to maintaining my gear and making sure it was clean and functional, yeah, I was passionate. When it came to making sure my battle buddies and I were safe, I was passionate. Nah, I don't think you would say, yo, Will, maybe you just like going to war and putting your life on the line, man. Like, what's the... No, you know better than that. I was passionate in Iraq. I was passionate in the army. But if I had my choice, we all know I would be on the beach somewhere, right? So we have to examine the source, the reason for that passion. Why was I passionate in Iraq? I wasn't passionate about shooting a 16 per se. What I was passionate about was my survival and having an effective and functioning M16 was a piece to my survival. And I think that's no different than sports. Are we really passionate about the X's and O's of a basketball game? Some of us are. Some of us are. But most of us, what we're passionate about is our survival, self-preservation. And the system has taught us that, hey, one of the few ways for you to be somebody is through these sports. And that's when you see our passion manifest itself on the court. Hey, this is my only way to survive. This is my only way to be relevant. I got to tear this guy's head off in front of me. This is the only way to get praise from my mama and dad. Yo, I better go out here and score these baskets. This is the only way to get the girls to recognize me. So we got to examine that passion. LeBron James pursuing his basketball career because he love it. Cool. What's the source of that passion? That was the only way he thought he could be relevant? And not just him, any of us. Because psychologically, we believe there's no way we could ever get an airport named after us the way John F. Kennedy did. I don't know, man. Just my thoughts, man. As always, man, you know I love you guys. Appreciate it, man. WBH Radio. I'm your host, William Holly. Out.